Lots of things going on. Joining us right now to elevate this conversation is a Pac-12 football analyst. He is a noted filmmaker. He is a New York Times bestselling author. He is host of The It Factory. He is co-host and EP of All American Stories. He is living his best life. He is Yogi Roth. Yogi, this has been a wild week in college football. One of the wildest weeks ever. So I've got to ask you, how great is ball and how crazy is ball right now, Yogi?
My brother, happy holidays. Ball is great. I'm on my way to the Pac-12 champ game after this call in Vegas. And many teams have taken, I think, your slogan, the Reinvention Project, right, for your podcast.
Nice.
And they've applied it to their football program. As hectic and unexpected of a week as I could recall in 20-plus years being around college football.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, what a wild, wild time. So you've had a few days to kind of process it. Usually, Yogi, it's all about fit. So what do you make of the fit of Lincoln Riley at USC?
It's brilliant. It's perfect. And they're going to thrive. I think when you look at the context of what USC is today and college football is today, Lincoln Riley is going to crush this thing. Kind of like you said at his press conference when he got named the head coach. Was like, it's not a bad matter of if, it's just when. Like, it's going to happen here. Let's just look at a couple things. One, USC. We know what the brand is. I think naysayers or people outside of the footprint or people that don't live maybe in Southern California looked at this job and said, I don't know if it's that good of a job as maybe it once was. But if you're in it and you're connected to it, you knew the fertile recruiting ground. You knew the commitment. For example, when Clay Helton was the head coach a couple years ago prior to Mike Bone being the AD, their staff was in the high 20s. It's in the low 50s now, right? So the commitment, the resources. Now add in NIL, Los Angeles, the brand building, the storytelling, the offensive firepower and wizardry, which has been Lincoln Riley. And what are high school prospects looking at? They're looking at what just happened. I'm with the best guys in the country every summer, man. They don't know what happened 5 years ago. They know Reggie Bush. They know Matt Leinart, but they don't know necessarily what teams have done in past years. They know about the playoff, and they know about the draft. And those are the two things they really concern themselves with. Lincoln Riley's going to crush this thing, man, and we've already felt his presence in recruiting. It's not going to happen overnight. They need some defensive linemen. Like, they got to be able to win in the trenches. But, man, they crushed it and couldn't have gotten, in my eyes, a better guy, right? I'd take Lincoln Riley over Sean McVay because he's coaching college. He's got recruiting connections. So if you look at some of the hot young names, at 38 years old, Lincoln Riley is going to do his thing at SC for a little while, in my eyes.
Yogi Roth is joining us, breaking it down really well. You know, you mentioned that there are things that have to happen. It can't happen overnight. So what's a realistic target for USC, Yogi, next year? Can you turn this thing around quickly enough, like within a year and a season, or is it going to take some time to rebuild it?
I can remember the day that Chris Peterson got hired. I flew up to Seattle and did like the sit-down interview with him, as usually happens. And I said, how long does it take to instill a culture? And this is a guy who would have gone into the College Football Hall of Fame prior to going to UW and is a lock to do it now. And he said it takes 18 months. And I believe that. I think for USC, they're always going to be overhyped. They were dramatically picked to win the Pac-12 South this year by the media, for whatever that is worth. They may be picked to win it again next year because of all the juice that Lincoln's going to have, and who knows what the roster turnover will look like with the recruiting and, of course, with the transfer portal and immediate eligibility being a reality right now. But I still think, yes, they'll compete for the Pac-12 South, for sure. Utah will be the favorite next year, in my opinion, if Kyle Whittingham, assuming he comes back for another season, as well as some of their key players. But I think 2 years, 3 years, when they build up their front, because they need help on the defensive front, man. They really do. They're not big enough. They're not they're just not developed enough. There's not a first-round draft pick. Leonard Williams isn't in that facility right now, per se, or Cedric Ellis or some of the greats, or Brian Cushing, Clay Matthews. Those guys aren't there right now. Those types of players aren't there. So I think he needs a couple of years. But I think in 3 years, it's realistic for USC to be in what, God, we pray will be an expanded playoff even before then, but definitely competing for Pac-12 championships probably next year, realistically being a favorite within 2 years in my eyes, because the Ducks aren't going anywhere. And Utah isn't going anywhere. And Chip Kelly just won 8 games, and they routed the Trojans. So it's not like they're in a weak league, right? This isn't the ACC right now. No offense to my beloved Pitt Panthers. But top to bottom, this league, I think is extremely competitive, especially at the top now with the teams that I just mentioned.
Yogi Roth joining us. I was going to ask you about that. So, like, when you consider who's already in that conference and some of the coaches who are already in that conference, what does the arrival of Riley mean for the Pac-12 overall?
Well, I think you asked me that today versus asking me that tomorrow night. It's going to be a little bit different of an answer, right? Oregon, if they win tomorrow, it's going to be three straight conference championships. And they're going to get another top 10 recruiting class. They're going to kick out another top 10 draft pick. And they're going to do the same thing next year. And they're built, in my eyes, to take a run at the playoff next year and the national championship next year. They're still in the conversation if things happen and to get into the playoff this year. I just got off a meeting presenting to the College Football Playoff Committee along with our commissioner and Merton Hanks and our team at the Pac-12. So they're square in the thing in the race right now. But overall, Oregon, if they can win, they can throw it out and say, hey, nice hire. But we've been there and done that the last couple years. I think Utah, you can't argue with the consistency, right? Three South championships in the last 4 years for Kyle Whittingham. He's as consistent of a coach as there is in the country. He's a top five coach in college football and the most tenured guy in our league. I mean, Chip Kelly, we've been around him both a bunch. He flipped this thing. And if Dorian Thompson-Robinson comes back, and we'll see, right? How about if Jaden Daniels comes back at ASU? We'll see. So I don't think it's, hey, SC, because of their brand and because of Lincoln Riley, is all of a sudden going to flip it. But it definitely changes the recruiting landscape immediately and definitely forces teams to probably throw down a little bit more on their narrative to remind guys of what their record is, what they've done. And I'm sure they've been doing that over the course of recruiting as it heats up, as we're 2 weeks away from signing day now.
Hey, by the way, Chip did flip this thing, and I love that he did. I also love, Yogi, that you just referenced Merton Hanks, man. I love Merton Hanks. How's my dude doing?
Dude, he's awesome. I was just texting with him before this call. It's so fun to have him on. I grew up a Niners fan, so I like know the whole team. So when I first met him, I had to make sure that I didn't like just start asking him about, you know, different games back in the day when I would watch him play. What I love about Merton is that he has played, right? And he brings a unique competitive perspective to football in the Pac-12, and you felt his presence. And I think now, you know, we had a really unique decade or so with Larry Scott. He did some really cool things in our conference. But over towards the end of it, the narrative around our league, as we all know, got a little bit out of whack. And I think Merton coming on now, our new commissioner being here, you add in Lincoln Riley, you add in Kalen DeBoer, you add in what Oregon is doing, what Utah has done. I think it's a nice turning of the page. You referenced Chip and how he slipped it. I think the brand of Pac-12 football, we'll see it on full stage in Vegas tomorrow night. It's going to be an awesome environment. Has changed. And as we all know, it's cyclical in all of college football. And I think the Pac-12, we took our lumps. But I think this conference is rolling, especially in the era, which is NIL, transfer portal, et cetera, in college football. I think it's going to be dramatically beneficial to our conference. And Merton's a huge part of that.
Yeah, he is. You know he is. Yogi Roth joining us. All right, so Saturday night, Oregon-Utah. Kyle Whittingham and company thrashed Oregon a couple of weeks back. What are your early thoughts, Yogi, on the matchup this time?
Well, it's not going to be like that. I'll tell you that. Look, it was 14-0 with 2 minutes and 2 seconds left in the second quarter. And then it got out of whack in that last 2 minutes and change. You look at the first drive of the third quarter, Oregon came out and a nice drive, Anthony Brown, and they're moving the ball and they score, and you know, all of a sudden it's 28-7, and they have a small chance, but they had a chance. And I don't think either team is 30-plus points better than the other. I think this is going to be the best Pac-12 title game I've seen since the Pac-12 went to this format, and I'll tell you why. Both coaches' personalities, as you know, you've talked to them both, man, they're physical. They're about truth-telling. And when their team gets punched in the mouth, as Oregon did, or as Utah did against Oregon State on October 23rd, the coaches told them about it. And both of their teams have responded. Go back and watch the Oregon State game against what I think was the best rushing attack consistently all season long in our conference. They held them to under 90 yards, right? They stifled a run game. You saw Kayvon Thibodeau beat one-on-ones, beat double teams. You saw Mace Funa. You saw a guy, Brandon Dorlus. You'll hear his name a ton tomorrow night. Noah Sewell. He's going to be a top 10 draft pick next year at linebacker for the Oregon Ducks. You saw him rise up and meet that moment. On the flip side, you saw Utah do what they've done really since Cam Rising's named the quarterback, which is score close to 40 points, run the ball and set up the play action pass, and their O-line has been dominant with Tavion Thomas as their lead back. So this game's going to be great in the trenches, man. I mean, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be so hard fought. I've talked to players on both teams this week. Their mentalities are right. So this will come down to the second half and which quarterback can make three legit spot throws. Not miraculous catches, but can you hit a guy when he's moving, when he's running? Can you find a tight end if you're Cam Rising? They got three of them. They're all elite NFL players. I think he's the best tight end group in the country. If you're Anthony Brown, can you find one of your receivers? Or can you find Travis Dye out of the backfield in the RPO game? Those are the things I think that will shift this game late. And it's going to be fun because we've got, I think, the best story in the country in Utah. If they win, they've lost two teammates to death by gunshot in a nine-month span. They started off 1-2. If they are to win this game and go to the Rose Bowl, it might be the best storyline of a team I've seen in my entire career. And if the Ducks are to win, they put themselves square in position. I think a two-loss champion beats a two-loss champion if it's Baylor. I don't think it's – I think it's a fun discussion, but I think – everything from what the CFP has to process tips the way of Oregon. I think if we see Cincinnati lose, they'll be out. I think if Cincinnati loses, Notre Dame will be out. They don't have a conference champion. They don't even have a head coach. And Gary Barta said that they wouldn't. They would make decisions based on coaching changes. That's part of their metric here in the final week. So there's a ton at stake for this one, which is why I love it. Two premier teams who love the craft, a bunch of NFL players, guys, a bunch of awards from Devin Lloyd to Kayvon to Verone McKinley and on and on and on. So, yeah, man, you can tell in my voice I'm juiced up to get to Vegas.
I love it. That answers the question. How great is ball? It's awesome. He's a Pac-12 football analyst. He's a filmmaker. He is a New York Times bestselling author. He is host of The It Factory, co-host and EP of All American Stories. And we got a big one coming up. Yogi, appreciate you so much, man. Great, great, great job. I love the energy. Have a great weekend. And I'll definitely be watching.
You got it, man. Talk soon, bro. Much love.
Much love. Be good. Yogi Roth. Extremely dynamic. And I love the energy. Always pumps me up.